Welcome to another episode of The Unexpected Leader, the show that proves greatness isn't reserved for those born into privilege or groomed for the corner office. I'm your host, Michael Callahan. I'm a leadership coach and founder of Mindset 180. And every episode, we unpack a real-life success story that reminds us each of us can rise, stumble, and still lead with purpose. Today's episode is special because our leader's journey is both surprising and historic. I'll keep their name under wraps for a bit, but here are a few breadcrumbs. They run one of the oldest and largest automobile companies on the planet. Two, they're the first person of their gender to hold that top job in the global auto industry. And third, they started their career literally on the factory floor, wearing steel-toed boots and a hard hat. Stick around as we trace that improbable climb. Our mystery guest grew up in Waterford, Michigan, a blue-collar suburb north of Detroit. Her father, Ray, he spent nearly four decades as a dye maker at the local Pontiac plant. Dinnertime conversations often revolved around camshafts and crankcases, and weekend family outings sometimes meant open house tours of assembly lines. Even with that exposure, she didn't have a silver spoon, just a curiosity for how things worked. At 18, armed with safety glasses and a punch card timesheet, she took her very first job inspecting fender and hood panels on a General Motors line. The paychecks, they helped fund tuition at what was then called General Motors Institute, now it's Kettering University, where she earned a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. But the road forward was anything but smooth. The late 1970s, the early 80s were brutal for U.S. automakers. Plant closures, layoffs, oil shocks, and fierce Japanese competition. Being a young woman in a sea of male engineers, that added another layer of complexity. There were no female plant managers to look up to. Mentorship was scarce. Restrooms on the shop floor didn't even have locks. Imagine that feeling, walking into a meeting, 30 engineers, and you're the only woman in the room every single time. Technical chops alone wouldn't be enough, so our future leader won a coveted GM fellowship to the Stanford Graduate School of Business, graduating with an MBA in 1990. That move signaled two things. One, she understood the power of cross-discipline learning. And two, GM brass already saw that she had leadership potential. Now, back in Detroit, she rotated through engineering, manufacturing, and even communications. She led a paint shop. She oversaw an entire assembly plant, and later, she took on the politically tricky role of Vice President of Global Human Resources, a huge leap for someone with a hardcore engineering resume. Each step added a new tool to her kit: labor relations, quality systems, global supply chains, and most importantly, leading people. In 2014, this was just weeks after she was introduced into her new role as chief executive officer, she was thrust into a nightmare: faulty ignition switch design linked to more than 100 deaths. There were congressional hearings, lawsuits, a $2 billion recall. Cameras flashed, pundits predicted GM's collapse. Many thought any CEO would crumble, let alone a brand new one. Instead, she stepped up. She testified openly on Capitol Hill, apologized, and this is key, launched a sweeping cultural reset inside GM. Her mantra became, "Speak up for safety. If you see something, say something." Nervous engineers suddenly had direct channels to senior leadership, and she tied executive bonuses to safety metrics. That grit solidified her reputation, and the company emerged leaner and arguably more trustworthy. Now, fast forward to the present. Our guest has committed her century-old company to an all-electric future by 2035, invested billions in battery technology, snapped up autonomous vehicle startups, and orchestrated record profits, even while sunsetting profitable gasoline trucks, a bold bet many analysts once said was career suicide. Oh, and along the way, She's been named to Fortune's Most Powerful Women list every year since 2014 and topped it 3 times. Time magazine calls her one of the 100 most influential people on Earth. That's quite a resume for someone who started by measuring panel gaps with calipers. We'll reveal her name in just a moment, but first, a quick word from our sponsor. Tired of boring goal-setting worksheets? Would you rather tick a box or gain 1,000 experience points and level up? Hero's Path turns your personal and professional objectives into epic quests. Define your character, create quests, track experience, and celebrate milestones with a system designed with classic role-playing games in mind. Download the Hero's Path Guidebook, everything you need to launch your adventure at payhip.com/mindset180. Welcome back. If you haven't guessed it by now, our unexpected leader is Mary Barra, Chair and CEO of General Motors. So what is it that Mary can teach the rest of us? Let's think of a few lessons here. 1, own your dirt under the nails experience. Starting in the trenches gave Mary firsthand empathy for hourly employees. Whatever your industry, time spent on the front line is leadership gold. Another thing, collect diverse tools. Electrical engineering, an MBA, HR oversight. Mary systematically filled skill gaps. Don't pigeonhole yourself. Range beats depth when the top job demands both. Remember, crisis is a forging furnace. Her ignition switch ordeal showed that transparency and accountability will beat PR spin every time. When things blow up, run toward the fire. And I know it's cliche, but culture eats horsepower for breakfast. By elevating Speak Up for Safety, Mary replaced fear with openness. Your culture statement isn't a poster. It's the water that your people swim in. And finally, the last lesson I'll say, bet on tomorrow, not yesterday. Pivoting a gas-powered giant towards electric vehicles was risky. True leadership often means sacrificing today's cash cow to secure tomorrow's relevance. Before we wrap up, let's talk about some of the obstacles Mary Barra faced in her climb to leadership. The first obvious thing is gender bias. For decades, auto plants equated leadership with a Y chromosome. Mary answered bias with excellence, sponsorship, and visibility. Mary also faced, there were always industry headwinds. Economic downturns, tech disruption, and supply chain chaos could have stalled her. She hedged risk by diversifying GM's portfolio. Cruise autonomous taxis, Ultium batteries, and BrightDrop EV delivery vans. And another thing is, we can't deny the challenges of a legacy culture. Turning a 1908 institution into an agile innovator meant scrapping old hierarchies. She flattened structures, rewarded cross-functional teams, and used data to keep everyone honest. And there you have it. The unexpected leader who transformed life on the factory floor into life at the top of the automotive food chain. When we return from our next sponsor break, we're introducing a new segment to the podcast. We're calling it Enough Talk, Let's Act. Every episode, I'm going to talk about a key element of leadership success and leave you with a simple exercise that you can start practicing today. So stick around. We'll be right back. Turn your life into an epic journey. Hero's Path turns your personal and professional objectives into epic quests. Define your character, choose your quests, track experience, and celebrate your milestones using a system based on classic role-playing games. Download the Hero's Path Guidebook, everything you need to launch your adventure today at payhip.com mindset180. Welcome back, everyone, to the Unexpected Leader Podcast. This is our newest segment. It's called Enough Talk, Let's Act. And today, we're diving into a deceptively simple question. How are you perceived as a leader? That's called leadership presence, and it can make or break your influence in less than a heartbeat. Think about the leaders that have inspired you. Odds are, it wasn't just their words that moved you. It was the way they showed up, the calm confidence in their voice, the posture that said, I've got this, and the authenticity that made you trust them. Presence, it's not an accessory we bolt on. It's the projection of who we are when skill, values, and self-awareness line up. Leadership presence, it lives at the intersection of three elements, right? The first thing is communication, right? What we say and how we say it. Having clear, concise messages and delivering them in a tone that fits the moment. But it's also about nonverbal signals, your posture, your eye contact, your facial expressions, even the pace of your breathing. These cues speak louder than a slide deck ever will. But most importantly, it's about authenticity. That's the glue. If your words and your body language don't match the real you, people sense the disconnect instantly. A borrowed persona might impress for a day, but sustained influence demands the genuine article. I've coached plenty of high potential managers and leaders who have wanted to copy someone else's swagger. The result? They come off scripted, stiff, and frankly, untrustworthy. Your goal is not to impersonate your CEO or your favorite TED speaker. It's to amplify the best version of you. When authenticity shines through, presence feels effortless, and audiences will lean in. Here's a three-step practice that you can start today to define, build, and refine your leadership presence. Go grab your phone. Deliver a 60-second update as if you were addressing your team, and watch it back. Note your tone, your posture, any distracting quirks. Next, write down three core values you want people to experience when you speak. Maybe clarity, optimism, decisiveness. Keep them visible while you practice. And finally, pick one meeting daily where you consciously embody those values. Small, consistent reps transform presence faster than sporadic grand gestures. Well, we hope you found that useful. And that's all we have for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. If Mary Barra's story inspired you, subscribe on your favorite podcast app and share this episode with someone who needs a nudge to chase their own impossible. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another journey of grit and growth. Until then, keep learning, keep leading, and remember your starting line does not dictate your finish line. I am Michael Callahan. Thanks for listening to The Unexpected Leader. We'll see you next time. Turn up.